When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Welcome, Los Angeles. Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. During a recent podcast appearance, Hunter Biden described himself as a little bit gay.
Are you gay?
Only a little bit.
I think more or less than 50%.
What?
More or less than 50%.
48.6.
Glad to know he's been experimenting with a much less harmful form of crack. Speaking of a little bit gay, after a record 250 days at sea in the Middle East, the 5,000-person crew of the beleaguered USS Lincoln has disembarked in the Thai city of Pattaya. And I don't need to tell you what they're looking for next. This guy knows what I'm talking about. That's right, Gangkwa Prick, a curry that's packed with local chilies and fresh turmeric. The beach city has long had a reputation for sex tourism. The UK's Daily Mail even once referred to it as the sex capital of the world. Good thing there's no USS Mrs. Lincoln. It's actually only sex if it comes from the Pattaya region. Otherwise, it's just a sparkling hand job. The sailors were greeted by a massive neon sign in the city's red light district that read, "Pattaya City is pleased to welcome the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier and its personnel." The sailors said they were thrilled to finally escape a years-long sausage fest for a month-long sausage fest. Speaking of dicks for sale to the highest bidder, Vice President J.D. Vance took questions from the media on Thursday. He was asked about a variety of topics, including Iran, gas prices, and 9/11. Here's what he said about the bipartisan commemoration that he'll be attending next week.
I'm really looking forward to hanging out with Joe Biden. I'm sure that we'll have many, many intense intellectual conversations. And, it'll be great. We'll have a great time with Joe Biden and the other presidents.
It's pretty fucked up that JD would take that kind of a dig at Biden, given what he's going through. The man literally just found out his son is gay. But the vice president's scorn wasn't reserved for Democrats. Here's what he said about Ted Cruz's prospects of running for president.
Senator Ted Cruz and your good friend, Secretary Hegseth, apparently have been privately and publicly, in the case of Senator Cruz, positioning for 2028. Could you see yourself supporting either one of them?
I'd encourage any Republican, if you care about the country, and I think all of us do, you should be focused not on a job a few years from now, you should be focused on the midterms. And on Ted Cruz, I mean, look, man, he's just clearly Ted is a very authentic and likable guy, and I'm sure he'll do great.
Damn. Tough hit from J.D. Vance, America's most authentic and likable guy. It's not surprising that Vance would come after Cruz after what Cruz said earlier this week.
J.D. on foreign policy has disagreed with President Trump on almost every decision Trump has made this second term. J.D. negotiated the MOU with Iran. That was a terrible deal.
Of course, it's easy to be brave and honest on a podcast, Ted. It's the hero's medium. But do they hate each other or themselves? Vance and Cruz are both ambitious, charmless lawyers who sold out to back Trump, tormented their entire lives by the breezy way others make friends and crack jokes and know just what to say, trying desperately to relate but unable to hide their arrogance and the bitterness of so much wasted effort, their public personalities like soft blankets laid over a bed of nails. And they both have beards. Meanwhile, Sean Duffy's wife, Rachel Campos Duffy, said her husband ended up with the current gig as transportation secretary because Trump kicked the last cabinet job his way, explaining, quote, "He ended up in that job because it was all that's left." Which is ironic because "it was all that's left" is what the investigators say at yet another airplane crash site when handing a wedding ring back to a grieving widow. I'm going to come over here to talk about that joke. You're right. And that was tough. It was too dark. We're all worried about dying in plane crashes. And I put in your mind the idea of a ring being handed back to someone who just lost the love of their life. And why did I think that would lead to any kind of laughter? What darkness and broken thing inside of me forced me to do this to you? Because the writers of the show didn't do that. I did that. And they would have stopped me, but they've worked here long enough to know that I do not learn until I'm here what is allowed and what is not. And that's a lesson I'll take with me till Thursday of next week when I will do this again. Progressive Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, age 80, friend of the show, on Tuesday defeated his more moderate primary rival, 47-year-old Congressman Seth Moulton. I'm so grateful to everyone who supported my campaign, especially all of you young people on TikTok, added Markey, while trying to record a video in Apple Maps. Moulton's campaign was against the gerontocracy, believing we need a new generation of leaders who can tackle issues like artificial intelligence. Markey held off the challenge with the help of endorsements by Bernie Sanders, who is 84, and his fellow Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who will be 81 at the end of her term. You come for one of us, you come for all of us, said three people who remember where they were when the Soviets launched Sputnik. Our hopes are as bright as our phone flashlights in the movie theater. Also this week, the U.S. Mint began selling a dollar coin featuring Trump's scowling face at prices that range from about $1.55 to $2.44 per coin, depending on the quantity you buy. You can also request the coins by their nickname, the Ball Sacagawea. In other renaming news, in a Truth Social post, President Trump suggested renaming the Strait of Hormuz as the Trump Strait. As in, America has once again lost control of the Trump Strait. America has been handed yet another decisive defeat here in the Trump Strait. And this just in, the Trump Strait is covered in algae. Trump was later pressed about this at the White House.
How serious are you about renaming the Strait of Hormuz the Trump Strait?
No, I was just thrown out there.
He's just spitballing, said a farmer who can't afford fertilizer or diesel, like how I'm brainstorming ways to get my family the life insurance money. Based on what happened earlier, I realized it was coming, and I was like, well, I'm fucked, because you're not in the mood to laugh about the worst things happening on Earth the way that I am, because something's wrong with you. I think there's going to be one more like that today. Speaking of Iran, according to NBC News, Iranian hackers have targeted a wide range of American infrastructure. By the way, I'm on purposely forcing us to leave this in. Because now I'm making mistakes inside of this setup. So now what is this going to mean if we're cutting it from the show? Fuck you, Bill. We're leaving this in. Iranian hackers have targeted a wide range of American infrastructure in recent weeks, including water systems, telecommunications systems, and more. And honestly, good. I'd rather deal with Iran than Spectrum. And we hear they also fucked with the lettuce, said a bedraggled executive from Taylor Farms. On Wednesday, Trump threw his weight behind GOP Attorney General Ken Paxton in the Texas Senate race in the meanest way possible.
So Ken Paxton, you might not like the way he dresses. And I say this, it's so insulting to him, but I might as well say it. You might not like the way he looks. You might not love his look. You might not love his television interviews. But he was the best attorney general in the country, perhaps. He was one of the best in the entire country. And that speaks a lot louder than the suit he's wearing that doesn't look so great.
Again, this is the man he's endorsing. Look, you might think he looks like shit. You might think he gives bad interviews. And he does. Trump also had this to say about Democratic nominee James Tallarico.
He's running against Tallarico. Now he says he loves meat. You know what he does? He eats meat and he goes outside and he throws up all over the place. Because in Texas, if you don't eat meat, you're in deep trouble.
This is a lie, of course, but it's such a weird lie. Why would James Tallarico go outside to throw up? Why wouldn't he throw up in the bathroom? Also, why wouldn't Trump have nicknamed him Barfin' James by now? None of this adds up. In other electoral news, Thomas Ross, a Missouri State House candidate, faces federal drug charges after asking his campaign manager to slip cocaine and Adderall into a purse owned by his rival in the Republican primary. I guess anonymous acts of kindness are illegal now. I guess generosity is against the law. According to the FBI, Ross sent texts to a campaign staffer about, quote, the substance, and said his opponent being caught with the drugs would be, quote, extreme egg on the face. Ironically, the kind of idea you have when you've done a bunch of Adderall and cocaine. Also, and this is not important, getting caught with planted drugs is not egg on your face. You only have egg on your face when you are embarrassed because of your own actions. I'm getting a sense that the candidate who tried to plant drugs on his opponent in order to get a part-time legislative office may not be that smart. But get this, Ross received 32 more votes than his opponent and ended up winning the primary anyway. That's so funny, he said. I didn't even need to try to ruin your life. I would have won anyway, and now I've ruined my own life. Oh my God, I get it now. That's egg on my face. Over in Florida, golfer and car accident enthusiast Tiger Woods has agreed... has agreed to give up his driver's license for 5 years as part of a plea bargain over his recent DUI. Looks like it's time for Tiger to hit the taking the bus range. In 2009, Tiger drove his Escalade into a fire hydrant and a tree. In 2017, police found Tiger asleep at the wheel of a running Mercedes on the roadside at 2 a.m. with two flat tires and damage to the car, plus Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and weed in his system. In 2021, he rolled his SUV and broke his leg in multiple places. The L.A. sheriffs put his speed above 80 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. And then in March of this year, he rolled his Land Rover after trying to pass a pickup truck, crawling out of the car with opioids in his pocket. And here's my point. Tiger, buddy, get a driver. You are a billionaire. I mean, I would never get a driver. My Bugatti is too fun to drive. Sun in the sky, Vicodin in my veins, wind in my hair transplants. I love LA. Here's what Trump had to say about Tiger's plea deal.
But I thought it was very fair. I mean, I think he's going to have somebody drive him. I told him that a long time. Why don't you get somebody to drive you? So he's going to have somebody drive him from now on. And you know, he's just a very special guy. I'm glad that was resolved.
Wait a minute. Trump and I had the same exact thought. Fuck. I gotta drink 5 beers and drive my Bugatti real fast to clear my head. Bill, bring me my driving gloves and my driving Vicodin. In otter news, a Reno woman was attacked by an otter. She was swimming in Lake Tahoe and had to get 38 stitches, but lived to tell the tale.
I just felt something grab me by my leg and pull me under. And it was so powerful, I felt like it was a human.
For those listening at home, the audience here is reacting to that woman's face because it is absolutely covered in otter wounds. Not that we needed proof, because we believe women. Applause. Applause. And sure, she looks bad, but you should have seen the otter guy. The woman, Lynette Bellin, continued.
Then I turned around and this otter just started coming after me, teeth and claws. And, you know, my only thought was like, I got to get away from this. But it kept following me.
Fortunately, she was saved when RFK Jr. appeared, grabbed the otter from the water, and bit into it like an apple. Thank you for saving me, Secretary Kennedy, she said. Sorry, didn't see you there, replied RFK Jr., hoping he wouldn't have to share his breakfast otter. After American tennis player Emma Navarro defeated French opponent Louise Boisson at the U.S. Open this week, Boisson was seen smashing a racket in the background while Navarro celebrated. Many said Boisson was being a poor sport, but I think it was worth it to take out that vicious otter. Penn State University opened what it's calling the Paterno Family Football Experience, yes, in honor of the late coach Joe Paterno, who was fired from the institution in 2011 after failing to report serial child abuser Jerry Sandusky. The exhibit features Paterno's desk, notable memorabilia, and the famous rug Paterno swept the allegations under. And finally, feminist icon Gloria Steinem died this week at age 92. The U.S. Mint will honor her memory with a dollar coin worth 77 cents. All right. We've got a great show for you tonight. Bruce Campbell and Paula Pounce are here, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Trees.com. Listeners of the show have heard me talk about how much I like fast-growing trees, but now they've got a new name, Trees.com. Boy, that's an upgrade. To my friends at Fast Growing Trees, you really nailed it. It's simple. It's chic. It's still America's largest and most trusted online nursery with thousands of trees and plants and over 3 million happy customers. They have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. Whatever you're looking for, Trees.com helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. I'm so proud of my friends over there at thetrees.com. You know, their Live and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants thrive happy and healthy. No green thumb required, just quality plants you can count on. LoveTrees.com. You can trust the plants. We have some great plants and trees from Trees.com here at the office, here at our HQ. They arrive looking healthy and have been easy to care for thanks to the experts at Trees.com. The experts at Trees.com have curated thousands of plants for every climate and growing zone so customers can find options that truly work for their yard or in their home. Right now, they have a great deal on planting essentials, up to half off on select plants, and listeners to our show get 20% off their purchase when they use the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 20% off better plants and better growing at Trees.com using the code LOVEIT at checkout. Trees.com, code LOVEIT. Now is the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Use Love It to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. We love ZBiotics. Huge fans. If I'm going to go have a couple drinks, I always start with a ZBiotics. I had it at our wedding. We had a bunch of them for people at the wedding, and it was great. People really liked it. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was engineered by PhD microbiologists to break down acetaldehyde, whatever that is, an unwanted byproduct of alcohol metabolism. Make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us. And I just said I used it at the wedding. I mean, people were taking it. It was great. It was great to have. We had it out. We had it out for people because we thought people would like it. And you know what they did? They said, boy, the next day on the Sunday when they're having a bagel, they're like, I'm really glad I had that ZBiotics.
Lifesaver.
Try it for yourself today, and if you're unsatisfied, they will refund your entire order. No questions asked. Head to ZBiotics.com/loveit. Code LOVEIT for 15% off your first order. That's ZBiotics.com/loveit. Code LOVEIT. And we're back! Bruce Campbell will be out in just a moment, but first, thank you to everyone who is a friend of the pod. Your support helps keep independent pro-democracy media going, but if you need another reason to join, subscribers get lots of content. This week, you'll get a brand new episode of Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer, plus Terminally Online, where rotating cricket hosts unpack the wildest things showing up on their algorithms. I was on last week's episode. We had a great time. Your subscription also unlocks access to our Substack newsletters and ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, plus discounted tickets to CricketCon and a lot of other stuff. It's great. Become a subscriber. Support us. I'm trying to do something over here. Head on over to crooked.com/friends to unlock all the benefits. And if you're in LA, you can still get tickets to this show, Love It or Leave It, at crooked.com/events. We've got some great guests coming up, such as former U.S. Congresswoman Katie Porter, Twitch streamer and political commentator Hassan Piker, and Crooked's own Louis Vertel and Nina Parker. All right, please welcome to the stage from Evil Dead to live on the Love It or Leave It stage, it's Bruce Campbell. Nice to see you. Come on in. Thank you for being here. Oh, Bruce.
Hey, not a bad couch.
Not a bad couch. Not a bad couch.
If I nod off, you'll forgive me.
Yeah. Hey, conk out. Conk out. So you wrote and directed a new movie called Ernie and Emma, which is out today.
Yes.
What's it about?
You know what? It's an adult movie minus the sex.
Oh, that's great.
It's adult appropriate. I even though I only look about 34, I am no longer a spring chicken, and subject matter that used to interest me in the sort of chainsaw boomstick era no longer lights my fire creatively. So it's a combination of diminishing skills and lack of interest. Oh. People always wonder, why are you not making any more Evil Dead movies? It's really that combo. And as I get into my golden years, there's a lot of different stuff that I care about. I care about people's, I care about characters. I care about people who have not succeeded. So this is a movie, in many cases, about failure and redemption. And I love redemption. I love a redemptive story where it's a sunrise story, too. It's a little cloudy at first, but by the end, hopefully, you'll be rooting for this former pear salesman in Pear Valley, Oregon, who's known as the pear guy. And I know what that means. I know what being the guy means. I'm the Evil Dead guy. It'll be on my tombstone. You're the Evil Dead guy. It doesn't. Yeah, great, great, good for you. You can have my tombstone because I don't want that one.
You don't want that one?
No. No, because I've actually done more than horror. Though here's what I've realized about horror fans. They only watch horror. I did 7 seasons of a TV show, like number one show on cable, Burn Notice. They don't, yeah, right, right. Not horror fans. Those are Burn Notice fans. Like I'll say to someone, oh, I'm doing a TV show, Burn Notice, to a horror fan. They go, oh, really? But I'll say, but I'm going to do, you know, some new horror show. Oh, my God. So it's okay. I appreciate that fans only watch what they want to watch. So I've done Westerns. I've done a French film. I played the King of Thieves. I played a lot of other parts. But if you know me as the Evil Dead guy, that's cool, too.
See, I know you as the brother from Bill Pullman's brother from 1600
Thank Pan. You very much. Yes, this man wrote a great part, and I'm as pissed as anybody else because he wrote a great part of a sleazy brother sitting there, Bill Pullman's brother. Can you imagine the crap that he could have gotten his, I mean, Russian associations. Was he from Vegas or something?
Yes. Well, because the president in that show, May Its Memory Be a Blessing, was from Las Vegas. Originally, it was supposed to be a much more corrupt and dark show. And then the network did say, well, what if it's about a working mom trying to have it all? And I said, great. That's what we're And I said, well, I don't know if that's as funny. And then the executive said, well, if you don't do that, I don't know that we're going to make it. And so I was like, great, tell me what you need.
We love it.
Yeah. Actually, wow. Let me go back. Great idea. But the idea of the president of the United States being bullied by his older brother was just so funny. And we had such a good time doing it.
I love that format. And I love working on that type of show because what was cool about it, you work on a one-hour show, let's say a doctor show or whatever. You'll do a take. And there would be dead silence out there in the video villages way back there. And you got to wait an hour and a half for someone to come and give you some feedback. You do a take here. The writer's in the room. The director comes in. They go, that was great. Hey, try this. When she says this, you go, yeah, so's your mother. And you go, right, got it, cool. And they're hitting you with the brand new stuff right away. So that every take is fresh because and you want to please them. They came in, they're giving you good shit. They're giving you better stuff than the previous take because they liked enough of what you did. They're adding it, they're building on it. So you don't want to screw that up because they won't come in and give you the good stuff anymore. So it causes us to work hard to make sure we sell it because if we sell it, you'll go, give it to Campbell. He can sell that crap. So you know what I mean? So yeah. I love that, the immediacy of it, and not shows are not done like that. Very rarely.
Yeah.
Because that kept the energy up.
It was fun. We had a good time.
So I'm pissed too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 15 years. I'll probably get over it. So
how long has it been?
It's been like 14 years since we filmed that. Yeah.
That's depressing.
That's wild. So, you know, look, you're now doing this indie film.
Yes.
You started an indie film, right? How has it changed? How is making something for a small budget with a small team changed between when you started, you know, 40 some odd years ago?
It's weird. It's telling a compelling story is still as hard. That never changes. Something that people can either relate to, get into, get scared by, fall in love with, something. The process is different because it's not as clunky. In the old days, you had 400-foot rolls of film. That was a limited amount. You'd be right in the middle of a single tier monologue and flap, 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 flap. That camera is out of film. Sorry. Now you push a button on the camera, you can record all day. All day if you really wanted to. You'll drive the editor crazy because they got to sort through your stupid footage. But you can now capture things that you might have had a rollout before. I can't tell you how many things rolled out on me in the middle of a take. Beating stuff over your head with something. Oh, we got to go again. Got to break those plates over your head again in Evil Dead 2 because we ran out. The footage ran out. So that clunky aspect is kind of gone now, but you still have to tell a compelling story. And so in my golden years, like younger years, yeah, let's do some chainsaw stuff. Let's do boomsticks and one-liners and stuff. Now I've had failures. I've seen people die. I've had health issues. So now this kind of story interests me because I can relate to it now. And I actually hope we get some really old people to watch this movie because I actually think they'll relate to it. I had a sneak preview in Boise. And don't take this wrong, but the blue hairs came. The blue hairs are laughing right now. So, meaning people of experience.
You should show it to Congress. They'll love it.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So,
oh, boy.
So, yeah.
No, I'm not going to show it to Congress. No.
Evil Dead Burn. So, do you still like horror as much as you still like? So, this new movie, what do you think about this new Evil Dead Burn?
I'm going to give you a horrible admission. I've never liked horror.
Gasp.
I told
you.
Yeah.
What do you mean you've never liked
horror?
Never
liked it. Never liked it. You're going to make our first movie. So all our amateur movies, Super 8 millimeter format, were all Three Stooges ripoffs. Every single one was comedy. Every single one. Now we go to raise money for a feature film from businessmen, doctors, lawyers. It gets real. And you're terrified of them losing the money. What could you make cheap? You don't need fancy clothes, costumes. You don't need, like, the first Halloween. Who was Jamie Lee Curtis? No one knew. Who was John Carpenter? Nobody knew these people. They're wearing regular clothes, driving regular cars. You don't have to have Steve Martin or John. If you did a comedy, you'd have to have some name in there. So it was a format that nobodies could make with nobodies to show to nobodies in a drive-in. And that was a way that you could get in. And we had never done horror before. And I think between Sam went to college and he sort of noodled this idea, Book of the Dead, some Egyptian Sumerian Book of the Dead. So he had ruminations, but that wasn't our background. But I think Sam said, okay, if we're doing horror, no holds barred. So it's an unrated movie, you know, not nearly as horrifying as some of the stuff that's out now. Let's see a nice movie. Let's put Evil Dead on, you know.
Well, it's funny because that quality of horror movies being kind of easy to make, they don't need a star. It's still true, right? Like,
yes.
There's now we're in yet another kind of moment for horror.
Don't we have these cheap horror movies making hundreds of
millions
like of
Obsession.
Dollars?
I, you know, there's a lot of movies that are just sort of barbarian. Yeah. We were just talking about. There's
and
a lot
it
of
ruined all those poor actors. I feel sorry for every one of those actors.
Why? Because you think they're trapped in horror now?
They're trapped in horror. B, they're going to be impossible to work with. And C, you can't afford them anymore. So,
because they got rich off the movie?
Yeah, no, because now they're going to get rich.
Oh.
They got stiffed on that first movie.
And so you feel bad for them?
Yes.
Because they're going to get rich. Because of all their success and all the money that's coming their way. Can we
conflicted.
Now,
because look, the Blair Witch guys did not make any money. They sold it. And then the people who distributed it made all the money. They made a sequel and made the money, but it happened to suck, so it's unfortunate.
Yeah, you got to make it good.
Well, you got to try.
You got to try.
Yeah.
You got to try. Now,
yeah.
To some, driving cross country with your dead spouse's ashes as you do in this film is the plot of a horror movie, but for guys like us, Bruce, is romance. But it can be hard to tell, as we'll see in a game we're calling Dead Meat Cute. Dead meat cute, dead meat cute. Bruce, I'm going to read you the heartwarming logline for a film dripping with romance. You're going to tell us, is that the plot of an actual rom-com or a horror movie?
Or horror.
Are you ready?
Rom-com or horror.
Rom-com or horror.
I'm ready.
Two down on their luck travelers accidentally book the same Airbnb only to find their burgeoning romance disrupted by their cranky downstairs neighbor.
Horror.
That is horror. That's 2022's Barbarian.
Thank you very much. But that could have been Room 622. That could have been the Jennifer Jason Leigh roommate nightmare movie.
It could almost be Breakfast at Tiffany's. Upstairs neighbor.
A minute, yeah.
You know? But instead of a creepy basement villain, it's a racial stereotype in the upstairs room. That's nothing to awe about. That's a fact about Breakfast at Tiffany's. What are we? Are you surprised to hear it referred to so negatively? Are we loving Mickey Rooney's performance in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I had a reviewer hate one of my movies so bad that he referred to Breakfast at Tiffany's. I had Ted Raimi play an ancient Chinese man in a movie called My Name is Bruce, and a guy from The Village Voice reviewed it and said it was the most, most insensitive, racial performance since Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That must have been tough. Was it correct?
Well, I blamed it on Ted. It wasn't. I didn't. I didn't have that much to do with it. Ted's idea.
Yeah, it's Ted's idea. But blame Ted, as we're often saying, as the saying goes, you gotta blame Ted.
Blame Ted.
A lovelorn loner ingratiates herself with the unsuspecting family of a bedbound stranger she's never met, with whom she's developed an unhealthy obsession.
Horror.
It's a rom-com, 1985's While You Were Sleeping.
That sounds stupid.
A gorgeous journalist falls for a shy scientist before he inexplicably tells her to buzz off.
That's The Fly.
That is The Fly. That is The Fly.
You helped me with that one.
I helped you a little bit. A terrified woman wakes up with no memory of her life and a boyfriend who forces her to relive the same experience over and over again.
Rom-com.
Rom-com. 2004's 50 First Dates.
God.
A plucky teen.
The 90s. Was that 90s?
It was the early 2000s, but in that same
what
era.
What a lame decade.
Just going to throw the whole decade out? Nothing good in the 2000s for you?
You'd have to throw some stuff out.
I don't know. I guess, yeah, I mean, there was that. There was.
Yes, it was a broad generalization.
A plucky teen finds herself pursued by the new bad boy in town, and October 31st, no less.
Plucky? Does it have to be a plucky teen? When it was just a
generic it's a plucky teen. No.
Finds herself pursued by the new bad boy in town.
I would say
October 31st. That's rom-com.
I would say that you're not really taking in it.
Shit.
I just think that October 31st was a bit of a hint.
Yeah, but okay. The movie Halloween? Is that what we're talking about?
We're not trying to trick you.
Tell me the plot again.
A plucky teen finds herself pursued by the new bad boy in town.
Jamie Lee Curtis was plucky?
For sure. That's plucky. She's insanely, by the end, she's very plucky. Maybe at the beginning a little,
but
she's plucky.
She's got Golden Globes and shit, but she wasn't winning anything in that movie.
Wow.
I've been in those movies. I know how you're supposed to act. She could have done a little better.
All right. You know what? It's a tough note for her to do anything with right now. Sort of not the most constructive.
She came back. She did number four, Halloween.
That's true.
Four.
So you're saying, like, maybe this note can help the next one.
No, when she comes back to do five.
Five.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's nice to give somebody the kind of respect of constructive feedback. That's what, you know, you don't want to have ruinous empathy.
I have nothing against Jamie Lee Curtis.
And we've always said that. I just want to be clear. Right? Bruce Campbell has nothing against Jamie Lee Curtis, right?
And
good.
Guess what?
What?
She gave it a shot.
She
gave it her shot.
Damn right.
When she walked out of that trailer, she's like, I'm going to just show terror in every direction.
Yeah.
And I did too, and I was shitty in the first Evil Dead movie.
No.
We got to own up to it, folks. Actually, I get better in Evil Dead. Because I figured it out. At first, we were like, what's a close-up? You know what I mean? We didn't know anything. By the end of the movie, we were all figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets better. So you can throw out about the first half hour of Evil Dead. I'll take the second half.
Did you shoot it in order?
Yeah, kind of.
Cool.
It's very docu-horror. Yeah, like it was a horror. Shooting that movie was horror. Do you want more?
Why was it horror, Bruce Campbell?
Because we didn't have anything. We shot in a remote cabin in the middle of nowhere, where someone had probably been killed, and a woman named Clara was supposedly haunted that place. We found this out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone came while we were prepping this cabin in the middle of nowhere in rural Tennessee, getting it ready to shoot. Someone came up and said, have you seen Clara? We're like, who's Clara? Oh, she'd be about 80 now. And we're like, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, there was a thunderstorm recently. And when there's a thunderstorm, she walks away from the home. We're like, go on. Because when she was a girl at the cabin, multiple people were killed during a thunderstorm in the actual cabin we filmed in. And in her terror, she ran away through the storm and escaped and managed to live into adulthood. But she was so traumatized by that event where she saw, goober and geezer getting killed over moonshine, whatever caused that in rural Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
She was traumatized. So every time now, even in a home, when there's a thunderstorm, Clara goes walking into the woods and they've found her back at that cabin sometimes.
And you're trying to convince us that you don't like horror.
You know, I watched Lawrence Welk.
Hmm.
And you don't even know what it is.
I'm second ducking. So, is that conducting?
I'm so sad for you people.
Is that this? Is that this?
Lawrence,
is that
whoa. This? Oh my God, people.
Who's
I like the Carpenters.
Who are those sisters? Who are those sisters?
I love the Carpenters. My dad got a stereo in the 70s when you tuned it right, the red light went on.
Sure.
And he had these new stereo headphones. You could blow them and inflate them so they fit your head perfectly. Dumb sales gimmick. But the first song I heard was the Carpenters. Like the one, something coming down from the sky. You'll figure it out. But... And I thought, this is the most beautiful music I've ever heard. People think, because they think I'm a horror guy, like I've gotten presents at conventions. A woman came up one time, she goes, here's some poetry you'll really like. I said, thank you very much, thank you. And she left, and I started to read it. I got maybe 3 words in. Creepiest, most offensive, disturbing shit I've ever read in my entire life. But she's convinced, because I was a horror guy, you'll really like it. I won't even like it. I'll really like it. So I read it to Karen Carpenter. Huh. She didn't like it either. And then she died.
Thank you, Bruce Campbell. Ernie and Emma. Hit select theaters today. Go to ErnieandEmma.com for more info. Bruce will be back for The Rant Wheel, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Blinds.com. Imagine a home where the light behaves exactly how you want, and you wake up on your own terms, not the sun's. Blinds.com has spent 30 years perfecting the window shopping experience. Backed by 50,000 five-star reviews and over 25 million windows covered, we make it effortless to transform your space. You're always in good hands, whether you go full DIY or use their licensed pros. You're in the driver's seat. If you need a hand choosing your style, you can book a free consultation with a Blinds.com design expert. They'll even ship samples to your door fast and free. You can choose from a huge variety of style options at prices that fit any budget. Everything is backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee, because at Blinds.com, the only thing they treat better than windows is you. We have Blinds.com in the office I share with John and Tommy. They're great. They're automatic. We have a little thing, a remote for them, because it sometimes gets super sunny and hot in the office in the late afternoon. And it's just been so much better to have these blinds. They came in, they installed it, they were in, they were out. It was just really a simple and good process. And the blinds are great. Right now, Blinds.com is giving our listeners an exclusive $50 off when you spend $500 or more. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout. Limited time offer. Rules and restrictions apply. See Blinds.com for details.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
And we're back! Please welcome to the stage the one, the only, the pogoing Paula Poundstone.
It's so different than because your fans come to every show, right?
Some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, these are devoted people. Aren't you glad that they moved the show into the country here? Because where you were before.
Yeah, you didn't like our old location.
No,
it bugged you.
No, it was very, it wasn't, you had to go through border
You had a border group control. You felt it was too far. You're going through border control,
really
passport, customs.
And you had to get it. You had to get an hour and a half, but at least I knew I was in Los Angeles the whole time. The other one, there were two or three language changes. The signs were in different languages.
Yeah, no, there was the Czech. There's the Czech border patrol. They're tougher than the guys on the Slovenian side for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
I would like, by the way, I would like ICE. You know, we try to get them to take off the masks, and they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just add. A blindfold. Wouldn't
that's
that
so
be
smart.
Good if you just lean into it? You go, okay, keep the mask and add this blindfold. That would be good. I think that would make us all safer. Well, thank you for having me again. I'm not sure. Now, I think the format of the show has changed since I was here last because you do 3, 4, 5 monologues.
2. We're double taping for the holiday.
You're
for
double
Labor
taping
Day.
For the holiday.
For Labor Day.
You're taking Labor Day off?
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the other thing I was confused about. You would stand over there, mm-hmm. and I realize this is a... Okay. You would stand over there, and then you would talk.
That's right.
And then you would step over a few feet,
uh-huh.
like you weren't there anymore.
Right.
And then you would step back.
That's
and
right.
And you would talk different when you talk. You would tell them something, and then you would step back.
That's right.
What? Why do you do that?
So in the...
Wait, hold on. Okay, now.
So, okay. So here's the idea. And,
yeah, what
and
is...
Clearly it's not working for you, but that's
no,
okay.
No, I had never
I'm going to tell you what it is. So
I just haven't
I'm adjusted. Normally this TV's not here. I'm over here
that's
on the rug.
That's a TV?
The rug
why is there a TV there?
So that they can see the clips.
So they,
we show
in case
clips.
They get bored, they just...
Yeah. Yeah, we throw...
Can you put on different strokes?
Yeah,
is that...
We throw footage of Minecraft and other kinds of just quick-moving videos and things
yeah,
to keep their,
to keep
their adult attention. But so
do you
I'll
ever show them the Iranian Lego videos? I fucking love the Iranian Lego
yes,
videos.
Yes, we all love the propaganda of the Revolutionary Guard of Iran, of course.
Of
we're
Japan.
Good,
Revolutionary
we're good Americans.
Guard of
the
Japan.
The point I was making is that I'm here doing the monologue. I'm
yeah.
doing my official jokes. We're in the... This is sort of what... This is what the regime wants you to know.
Right.
And then
yeah.
I come over here, and it's like, psst, psst, come on in. Let's have a kind of little moment where we get behind the scenes,
oh,
right? But
uh-huh.
here's the thing. I'm in charge in both places. So it's kind of like a fake thing
yeah.
where I kind of pretend that I'm letting them in on the secret
yeah.
of the show. But really, it's about creating ironic distance from jokes that are heinous. So
oh,
it gives...
The ones about
really
the dead
doing,
people and shit?
Yeah,
the ones
so,
about the...
Because if,
yeah,
over here...
Well, they didn't go in for that, did they?
They didn't. And they
no.
didn't. And they never fucking do.
Yeah.
But I'm slowly changing them. The jokes that people don't laugh at are mine.
So you're the guy who goes, let's put in some more dead... So you read over a pretty happy monologue,
yeah.
and then you go, but there's no dead stuff in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, there's nothing
no
in here about
the
grim specter of a dying child. Let's
yeah,
get that
exactly.
into the material. But so when I'm over here, they don't really like it. So I come over here,
I
kind of smooth it over
uh-huh.
and kind of just give them a little bit of moral permission to be like, I'm allowed to laugh because we all know it's wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's how
I
also
do.
How Trump happened. If you think about it, you know, but for good.
Yeah. Is it because you can't afford to be a part of a comedy team? Because that's one way of doing that.
So, Paula.
Okay, I'm ready. You go ahead.
All right, and let's roll. Let's start the cameras. Okay, so now...
It didn't used to be, because it's on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be that either.
What's that? You know what?
It wasn't. It didn't used to be on YouTube,
no,
did it?
No. Well, we've been on YouTube for a while.
Was I
been,
ever on YouTube?
You've been on YouTube a lot.
I had no fucking idea. No one
on
told
YouTube.
Me. Was there revenue? Could I have gotten...
Was there revenue?
From YouTube? You know how if
yeah.
you have ads, they give you some money for the, you know...
Yeah.
Don't ever
you
eat this
cut,
again.
Right.
That
you want,
ad.
I think that we can probably get... you know, $13 check of the ad revenue, if that's, you know, maybe
you have,
bus fare
no
or something.
I have no idea how badly I'm doing. $13 sounds good to me.
So
that's a slice of pizza in the airport right there.
Now, Paula.
Yeah.
I do want to, you do, we were entertained by the story about what happened when you were on The Tonight Show on the same time as ZZ Top and what happened. And I think people would love that story.
I will tell you that story. I think it was my first time on The Tonight Show. It was with Johnny Carson. He was a comic.
Sure.
They don't seem to know stuff from a while ago. So
you're saying Johnny Carson was a comic.
He was a comic. So I was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. I think it was my first time. Back then, I think cable had started, but there was still very limited, late night shows. And it was not really the overnight success. There was a time where if somebody did The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, the following day, fucking everybody knew them because there were only three stations. And there was only one show like that. And so everyone watched it. This was maybe just on the other side of that hill, maybe it wasn't a star maker in that way. But anyways, I was on, and ZZ Top was the other guest. And it was when you're a young comic and you're doing The Tonight Show for your first time, it's terrifying. It was a very nervous-making thing. So I do my set. I really wasn't very good, but there I did it. And now I go into the dressing room, and I'm like, debriefing. And now the show's over. I could, it was still going on when I was in the dressing room. But now the show's over. I come out of the dressing room, packed up, ready to leave. And all these roadies are pushing the equipment for ZZ Top. And so I stop in the hallway, and one of the ZZ Top guys, guy in a beard and a hat and a mustache and the glasses, comes over. And I was so embarrassed. He says to me, he goes, "Oh, you did a great job." I said, "Oh, thanks." And then I'm like, I didn't watch them because I was in the dressing room. And so I just, to be, social, I said, "You guys too. Yeah, great job." And the guy I'm talking to goes, no, it's me." And I had no fucking idea what he was talking about. And he starts like pawing at his beard. He takes the glasses off. And then he was really annoyed he couldn't get the mustache off. It was Carson. And during the show, they used to do this thing where they came back from a commercial sometimes and he would be dressed up like somebody. And this time they dressed him up like the ZZ Top guy. And so it was so stunning. And it took me the longest time to figure out that it was Carson, even as he's taking the stuff off. And he was, you could see that he was visibly upset that I didn't know who he was. I know, why am I doing this? But have you all read Ramona the Pest? Okay, there's a...
I don't know what it is.
It's a great book by Beverly Cleary.
I don't read women authors.
Okay, Ramona the Pest is about Ramona's first year of kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's Halloween time, that she wears a costume. All the kids wear a costume, to school on the Halloween day. And Ramona freaks out because when they're on the yard and they have their costumes on, people don't know who she is. Like, the other kids don't know who she is. And at first she thinks that's fun, and then it freaks her out somehow, which I forget why I brought it up.
Because Johnny Carson.
Because Johnny Carson. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Here's a question. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or mortgage right now? Did you even know that was an option? If the answer is no, you need to check out Built. Becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live. Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. The point perks that really appeal to me are the fitness classes and the restaurants, but there are dozens of ways to redeem. Members can also get access to the AI neighborhood concierge right in the Built app. It doesn't just give local recommendations, it takes action. From paying rent and reserving dinner tables to booking fitness classes and ordering lifts, it handles tasks seamlessly while applying your member benefits across 50,000 partner merchants. First, you download the Built app. Second, you link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, you can ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. For homeowners out there, Built works for mortgages too. Your housing payment is one of your biggest monthly expenses, so why wouldn't you want to earn points on it? Download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Use our link so they know we sent you.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops, plus
There will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Bruce Campbell was the name of the vice principal in my junior high.
And we're back. Let's bring up the vice president of Paula Poundstone's junior high. It's Bruce Campbell.
Welcome back. And you know Paula.
Hey, Bruce. John, can I ask you something else? And maybe this shouldn't be a part of the actual show. So why don't people, I'm standing over there and they go, someone's going to pull the curtain back for you to come on. Well, the curtain ends right there.
Here's the thing.
Why wouldn't I just walk on?
It's a really good question.
Thank you.
And this is, we are doing our best creating, I am sorry that this is what Hollywood has become.
So you're trying to create an illusion of something. Is that right?
Yeah, about a minute here.
Thank you.
There's a business we call this pipe and drape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it ain't moving anywhere.
Yeah.
That's a good pipe and drape job. This whole thing's gonna go.
He's gonna knock down the whole studio, oh, no. John.
If it happens, it happens.
And they felt the same way. They got to that point and they really worked hard and the bridge didn't connect.
Yeah.
They're like, no one's going to know. Let's move on, Joe.
That's right.
Yeah, and then I highlighted it. I pointed it out.
No, you did. You do draw attention to it.
You know what I'm like? Remember when it was Dentist Day in elementary school? Did you have that?
Dentist Day?
Yeah, there was like Dental Health Day in elementary school. We went to school in different times, of course.
Sure. When the people from like the WPA would come to the school. And
yes, exactly. You'd get this little box with a a toothbrush in it and a little thing of toothpaste, and they'd give you these red pills, and you were supposed to chew the red pills, and it would highlight where you weren't brushing enough in your mouth. That's sort of what I am to any show.
So I probably shouldn't urinate in your pool, because something's going to happen, right? You put some dye in there that's going to make my urine turn like blue.
Whether I did or not, if I had a pool, you shouldn't urinate in it, yes. Yeah.
We found yet another reason not to pee in the pool, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you who's pissed, all of us, because it's time for the rant wheel.
Rant wheel.
Here's how it works. We'll spin the wheel wherever it lands. One of us will rant for 60 seconds. Let's spin the wheel. Bruce, what is something you'd like to rant about?
Am I standing?
No, you can sit, stand, whatever you want.
I should stand.
Okay.
Bike path etiquette.
Oh.
I have a serious problem with people on the bike path who do not follow basic rules. Rule number one, do not take up the entire path with your party. If you're walking with little Barfie, and little Barfie's on that rope and going across the entire path, you're blocking the entire path. So I come up, jing, jing, on your left. Well, they can't hear me because they got the big muffers on. So then I have to go, excuse me, and they go, oh, my God! Now I'm the asshole. Not them being an idiot. Know your classes. Class 1, 2, and 3, electric bikes. Class 1, pedal only. Class 2, pedal assist, plus throttle. Class 3, you can go like 26 miles an hour. So they get these jerks on there. The fathers bought them this. These little...
That was great. The electric bikes. I had an electric bike in D.C. because it was so swampy, and I would want to. I was wearing a suit to work, and so I would have an electric bike to get to the office because I was the coolest guy there. And but now, like, they're just. It's like, hey, like, if you're a kid biking around, but there's a throttle, kind of losing some of the value of the biking around, you know?
Yeah.
Let's spin the wheel. Paula, what would you like to rant about?
I'm good.
You got 51 more seconds to be good.
All right,
good.
Let's just sit. Shit. Let's just
okay.
hang out.
No, I'll tell you. You know, when you're walking your dog on the bike path and some fucking dickweed comes up behind you and, you know, ring, 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 ring. Well, how am I supposed to hear? I have my headphones on.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, I feel your pain.
It's unbelievable.
Trying to walk the dog. His name's not Barfy.
Oh, man.
Sure, it's a pet name for him, but that's not his given name.
It's not his given name, Barfy.
Oh, wow. That was it.
That was funny.
You know what? He's going to remember this whole exchange. Go ahead. Tell us what we said.
Let's spin it again.
Wow.
There we go.
All right, here's what I want to rant about. We've done roughly 500 episodes of this show.
Wow.
And over the course of those 10 years, I've ranted about virtually everything that's ever annoyed me on God's green earth. And over the course of that decade, I've become increasingly happy. And the world has gotten much worse. And so as more and more bigger things there are to rant about, the less I feel like ranting. And yet this whole show is built around this show ending with a rant about what's happening in politics. You know, we had Jimmy Simpson on. He was like, I don't want to rant. Why focus on the things to rant about? And it's like, that's a good point. Fuck. And it's just sort of annoying me that I've built this whole show around kind of being pissed off. And I'm just not that mad. And that kind of makes me a little bit mad. All right.
I wish that bell would just go off in my house every so often, also for no good reason.
Yeah, just to break you out of a train of thought. And that's the rant wheel.
Now, enjoyed the rant wheel.
This entire evening has been a delight, save for a few moments that the producers of the show wanted to rub in my face, which is why it is time for a segment we call Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. The team has written down a list of things they believe I should regret about this evening. If you have any regrets about this evening, this is also a time to share them. Now, rarely, I can achieve something called a kudos, in which producers say I did a good job, and then they give me one piece of candy. That's happened tonight, and we'll find out what that is in a moment. Let's see. First regret, I implied that Joe Biden wouldn't be proud of his gay son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that true? You said that?
I implied it.
What was the actual sentence?
That he's going through something because he just found out his son is gay.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, he's processing that.
Yeah, he's processing it, and that it's a hard time for him. So I suggested if he were to have a gay son, it would be a hard time for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair.
What he did was he made it sound like the hard time was going to be, you know, the cancer.
Right, the cancer.
Or the, you know, or the...
But it wasn't.
The disrespect of the, you know, end of his presidency. But then he threw him a curve there by saying, you know, just found out his son is gay.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Let's see. One second thought is that I really painted a picture of that plane crash widow during this comedy show.
Oh, the one with the ring?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy, that laid me out.
Now, the kudos is that I did take accountability for my jokes tonight, and I took the blame, and the writers of the show are glad that I did that. I'm also sorry about that sad farmer joke. And I'm saying...
What was the sad farmer joke?
Well, we don't need to relive it. So I also want to apologize to producer Bill because I forced his hand in the edit and then saying, fuck you, Bill. Let's see. Oh, Bruce, I want to apologize for bringing up the racial dynamics of Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I accept your apology.
It's
a rough section of the show for you.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah?
It's fun. It's a little bit of a kink for me. So, Bruce.
Put that on the list.
I also... Bruce, this is just an opportunity if anyone wants to say sorry to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Dear Jamie Lee, you've been through a lot in your life. You've overcome a lot of struggles. You came from a Hollywood royalty. And look at you now, Jamie Lee Curtis. Look at you now. You're a Golden Glober. You're all kinds of things, aren't you?
Doesn't sound like an apology.
Sort of a little bit of a
Washington, D.C. apology.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being insensitive. It was a snarky remark. I thought it would get a bigger laugh. So that's mostly what I'm sorry for. And I should probably just leave it at that.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Let's see.
I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
We all love Jamie Lee Curtis.
And I do too now.
And by the way, that was clear from the very beginning. We made that clear. Paula, I immediately lost the control of the show to you completely. And I never got control of the show back from Paula Pouncer.
You said that?
Yeah.
That's not true at all.
Do you think I'm in control?
No, but I don't think... Are you usually in more control than this? I mean, I
like to think so.
Yeah. Because I've never seen... I didn't know it was on YouTube.
And you're on YouTube too, right?
So I'm on YouTube.
And you're doing Pogo Stick on YouTube.
I do. I do two daily videos. One I call Hey Donald Trump. And it's me like FaceTiming with Trump. I give him advice. I talk to him about, you know what he's done. And it's all very friendly. And then I do another one and I've done that for over a year now. I haven't missed a night. And then I do another one that is a countdown until November 3rd. And I've been doing that for 236 nights.
And you do that on a pogo stick?
I do. I don't know why I ever said this, but on the first one I ever did, I said not only... it's a countdown, and I give people something they can do every day to help save our democracy, because hand-wringing is not helpful. And then I just threw in, for no understandable reason, and I'll add a pogo on my pogo stick every day until we take back the House and the Senate. So we better fucking take back the House and the Senate, because I don't know how much more I can pogo.
I worry about you pogo sticking. I worry about it. I worry about it.
200. If I have to go on the road, I have to bank some of those before I go.
Sure. That's how it works.
And the other
those
thing,
are the rules.
And I don't, you know, the audience really, my followers really don't know this. I do retakes to do the pogo sticking. So when if I'm doing 236, for example, it is possible that I can't go on at 234.
Wait, you're bouncing 236 times on a frickin' pogo stick?
Yeah.
You can do that?
I can. Yeah.
When did that start?
237 days ago.
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Bruce Gamble and Paul Poundstone. There are 60 days until the midterms. We'll be back next week with Ben de la Creme and Gareth Reynolds. Good night.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops, plus There will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.